Yeah. Okay, folks, I'm sure you know all the introductions. I just hadn't time to download it. Basically, the speed of the internet wasn't great. So you know your Q's and S's and a whole lot like that. So I'll take it away. It's good to have you here. Welcome. This is the first day HC meeting of the new year. So I'd like to wish everybody a peaceful and safe new year. And look after yourselves for the next few months, I know. All right, we'll kick it off. Apologies from anybody?
That we have an apology from Councillor McAvoy.
Yes. Okay. Declarations of interest? No.
None from officers, Chair.
Okay. Okay, number three, action sheet arising from AHC committee meeting held on the 24th of December.
Thank you, Chair. The action sheet is running to quite a few pages. I don't intend to go through them all, and we're quite happy to take any questions that there may be arising from it, Chair.
Okay. Okay, Charlie Casey. Our councillor, Casey MSA, do you want to come in? That's a question.
Plain on, Charlie, are you ready, Jerry?
That's all right, Charlie.
It's to do with, just where it mentions, I had asked a question about the potential for the Willie Mealy statue being located in Sugar Island. The group had given indication that little park area there is where they'd be keen to hold it, but I think they've been told because there's also a statue already on that particular street in Sugar Island that it's unlikely to get that. And I had spoken to the group to try and discuss any other possible location, not necessarily Sugar Island, but any other possible location. That was this time, the last meeting, still waiting. Where did my request go? Into the Charles Boardroom, I suppose, along with the rest of them.
Chair, I'll cover that. Hopefully not. Councillor, I will follow this up with you tomorrow. I'm not sure what we have done with it to date, but I'll check it out tomorrow and I'll follow it up with you then, if you're happy enough with that.
Yeah, I do well. Thanks.
We've another question here from Councillor Andrews.
Sorry, Chair, I'm getting used to the mute and unmuting here, Chair. First of all, in relation to page 2 of the action sheets, I'd like to ask any progress so far on the suicide to zero. Thank you very much.
I think that's you, Owen, is it?
Yeah, there's no other update other than what I gave at the last meeting, Chair. We're organising the virtual suicide prevention awareness training for all members, and that'll be offered hopefully in February, if not early March. And we're just speaking to it's Connections, it's called. And there's no other update other than that. As I say, we've again made provision in the estimates for the small grant schemes. The next stage is getting that training before we can then look to see the trust to set up this working group.
Chairperson, Owen, thanks very much for the update. And it is a very important subject, and I welcome what's been proposed tonight. So thanks very much for the update.
We have another question here from Councillor McKevitt.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Just on the Nan Sands and the transfer of the land, I see it's complete. Is that correct?
Is that till
it's to Michael, yep. Yeah. Is the playing fields, the Nan Sands playing fields out in Savile?
Michael or Paul?
Yeah. It's probably Paul,
sure. Yeah, that's been completed, yep.
That's perfect, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I think that's it. Now, are we a proposer and seconder for this? Terry proposing, Karen second.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings us on to the notion of motion. A financial call for assistance for community growing groups in Newry and Mourne. This motion was put forward by Councillor Lewis. Councillor Lewis there, is he?
Oh, yeah, that's me now, sorry. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'll just read it out here.
Yeah.
That we note that Newry Morning Down, that the council aims to embed the ethos of sustainability throughout its operations. Sustainability development is about meeting the needs of sorry, I've lost my place here because it's all those wee things keep on popping up on the screen. Quality of life without compromising the quality of life of future generations. With that in mind, this council commits to producing a report on how we could be making funding available, which could be utilised by community groups for the benefit of creating community gardens, encouraging the planting of apple, peach and pear trees, along with other edible fruit and veg plants, making use of vacant lands which are within our ownership. We commit to helping community groups engage with other public agencies to identify land which could be used for any such project. I had recently seen a number of groups partaking this through the PCSP and found it to be a fantastic idea, especially over the lockdown period, whenever we were utilising through the council the home food packs, that there was an increase in local groups wanting to create community gardens and that sort of sustainable growth within their own areas, and indeed utilise land which is perhaps lying vacant. And we could also use this as a great tool to educate young people and to ensure that there's community cooperation from top to bottom. It's something that I think that would show a really positive light of in the council's commitment to sustainability. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Alan. We have a question, a P and a Q question from Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm just conscious that, you know, Councillor Lewis isn't actually a member of this committee, so just to keep things right, you know, I'll formally propose his motion that's presented to us tonight. So, and obviously, you know, fully behind what Councillor Lewis is proposing here. I do note that the report has suggested that we you know, propose a fund, you know, a fee, or, you know, a financial commitment for this. And having discussions with Councillor Lewis on this, I understand these type of projects can cost in and around maybe £2,000, you know, with the cost of the trees and whatever. So, you know, I would propose maybe if we could look towards maybe a financial assistance scheme of around £10,000, if that's possible, to allow maybe a spread across the district, you know, with applications. Subject obviously to that being, you know, agreed within the rates process, but, you know, I think it's a figure we could look at with a view to allowing maybe the opportunity for, say, a wider district, you know, application process. I think if we have it, you know, too small a fund, it will end up, you know, it won't benefit the wider district, and maybe only one or two applications will be successful. So I would propose a fee of, you know, a financial assistance pot of £10,000, subject everybody else being agreeable with that as well. And I think, you know, Councillor Lewis will be content with that anyway from the discussions that I've had with him so far. So that's all I want to say, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David. We have a question from Cathy Mason. Councillor Mason.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think we really do agree with the notice of motion and the thinking behind it. The only thing I just would like probably a wee bit more clarity on is how it sort of differs from the other fund. And I know in the financial call that, you know, even actually was just released today, there is a section of it that's for biodiversity, and just where this sort of lies with that and how it differs. You're 100% right. It, you know, during lockdown and stuff like that, some of the work that was done, and especially I know the Councillor Lewis was alluding there to the PCSP funding, and that there was two cases of it in Newcastle that I'm aware of, and they were absolutely fantastic for a sort of community gathering, and obviously for the sustainability. So I just would like a wee bit more clarity, I suppose, around that, how this would sort of differ from what's already in place. And I know the council works quite closely with the Live Here, Love Here, and there's a few sort of similar projects that have come out of the likes of that as well. And I do note just the being on the Sustainability and Climate Change Forum, the work that sort of has been done, and note and thank the officers for the work that has been done to date on the likes of these kind of things. And I do agree as well with the likes of the vacant lands and things like that that are within our ownership. You know, if it does suit, we should be utilising these. And it may be a simple case of working a lot closer with these community groups, maybe within, I know Councillor Lewis is within my own DEA, and through that kind of forum, if we could reach out to groups and maybe make them more aware of the funding that is already available. But yeah, no, definitely we would agree with the principle of it, just that slight maybe a wee bit more clarity on the funding that's already in place. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Now, a few questions here. First one is Councillor Gallagher.
Thanks, Chair. We at the SDLP, we fully support this direction. I think what Councillor Mason has hit on there is something I was wanting to discuss. I mean, we do have different financial calls. It's about seeing if we can look at the option of, you know, rather than duplicating funding, extending some formal kind of financial calls as such, to have a look at that if it is possible, to see if we can utilise that. But I do think it is a great idea and it's a good community-based aspect of it. Thanks, Chair.
And the fine one is the Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Happy to to support the motion. Also, we support if it's required, Councillor Taylor's proposed financial amount. I suppose, really, I mean, the way I see it is, don't want to be too crib heavy here, but there certainly is. There's a lot of energy in such like the very specifically organised groups, but I suppose, you know, what maybe something like this might be very good at is actually bringing in groups that are perhaps not so, maybe haven't been so sustainability minded in the past, or maybe haven't known where to look for such funding, with regards to that. So I think certainly the established groups will benefit from this, I'm sure, as well. But also, I'd like to think that across the district as a whole, the sort of less established groups, or maybe groups that are sort of established in different ways with different ethos, might be able to come in. And secondly, as well, I suppose, as well as working with their own grounds, it possibly might also benefit as well to work our sort of advocate on behalf of grounds that maybe aren't owned per se by us. I know that we have a lot of energy around the sort of Slieve Croob area, and there's been sort of working with other agencies on the grounds. But again, I'm also very aware that the council have been very, very good, certainly looking at where they can plant trees through biodiversity in their car parks and strips of land that we have dotted about, and maybe giving people an opportunity to sort of feed into that as well would be great. Thank you, Chair.
I'm going to bring in Owen. Owen, you want to talk about that?
Thank you, Chair. Just to respond, with regard to the other funding streams, the biodiversity funding stream is meant to be for projects that have an impact on our local biodiversity action plan. So there is an element, it's not duplication, but there is potential, I suppose, for some overlap. And then the funding that we provide to Live Here, Love Here, that's for civic pride, litter, dog filing type schemes initially, but again, there'd be a small potential for overlap with those type of projects, but they're not specifically for these community growing type initiatives. With regard to the finance, regarding to what Councillor Taylor said, so the amount of money in the biodiversity funding stream is 10,000, and the amount we contribute to Live Here, Love Here is 13,000. So just for information, but we would see that we would have very specific criteria for this. You'll see from the report we have been doing work in the background. It mentions in the report as well about a plan for development grant to participate in the Sustainable Food Places Programme. Since the report was written, we've actually been confirmed that we've received some funding for that as well. So I don't know if that clarifies the members' questions there.
Okay. Well, we have a proposal from Councillor Taylor. And is that you, Councillor Walker seconded, is it?
No. No,
no, Councillor McMurray.
Oh, sorry, Councillor McMurray. Okay. Okay.
Chair, if we could just check if everyone's in agreement with that proposal.
Is everybody in agreement with that?
Yes.
Everybody, councillors, yeah?
Yeah,
everybody
yeah happy? Green.
Good.
Yep.
So that's passed there, sir. Okay, number five, notion of motion, Dunlea Park, Dunpatrick.
Thank you, Chair.
That's I think that you. Is that you, Paul, is it?
That's correct. Chair, members will maybe recall the notion of motion being tabled at December committee and officers asking, I suppose, to bring a report back to this committee. And so this is part of that process, and you'll see in the recommendations that we're suggesting or proposing that the notice of motion for sports fields at Dunleith be referred to Downpatrick DEA and considered a standing item on this DEA agenda. Have you taken any queries or questions in relation to that?
Sorry, Chair, you're on mute.
Chair, could I? Unfortunately, I'm not a member of the committee, unfortunately. But as I read the notice of motion, unfortunately, I haven't got it up in front of me here. I thought the notice of motion, therefore, Dunleith Park was to set up a working group in relation to how we could go forward with the development of Dunleith Park as a facility for the whole community in Downpatrick. And it was to set up a working group. Is that not correct, Michael?
Yes, Chair. I mean, the notice of motion as written is requesting a working group. We just believe that given the fact that the DEA is already there and that this would be the model that's been used in other DEAs where, for example, Warren Point Community Centre would be considered by the DEA councillors prior to DEA meetings, that was an appropriate vehicle. But yes, that's it, Chair.
All right. All I'm just going to say, sorry, this is what Michael said to me there, but I thought a working group here, the public councillors, you know, thought we looked at Albert Basing and there's a working group going there, and we wanted something similar for here because this is centralised in Downpatrick, and it's because it has a floodplain too as well, problem so it has, and we thought we would like to sit down there with the officers of council, sit down with a working group and see how we can go forward because this is an area now because of the virus and stuff like that, there are people need to get out and young people need to play football. And there are various situations, various things that could be done with the Dunleith Park. It would a number of drawbacks to it as well. And I thought a working group might have been the best way forward, but I'll listen to what Michael's saying. I thought some of my other colleagues would have been there, John Finn or other ones would have been there to speak on this matter.
But anyway.
Well, let Councillor O'Hanlon in first because she had her question up there. Councillor Corns.
Sorry, Chair, I think I used to. Sorry,
Chair, Councillor Finn's in first.
Oh, Jesus, right. Turn away.
Thanks, Chair. I suppose, Dermot, you've maybe jumped the gun a wee bit there. And the first thing I'm going to say is I totally disagree with the recommendations that are coming from the officer's report. And I disagree entirely with how Michael's maybe put it to us there around what is appropriate. As Dermot has alluded to, the Albert Basin Park, we have pushed for a standalone working group there to explore the feasibility of what can go on site. And that is what I had taken from the spirit of the motion. The spirit of the motion was that we explore what are viable options for development at Dunleith as a park. And I'm not too sure as to the size of Dunleith, but I would say that it's quite a considerable acreage, similar to that of Newry's Albert Basin, and that we should be taking it as serious as such. It is not maybe on a similar level as the other projects within council, especially if you're maybe trying to create a similarity between an apple and an orange. A community centre is very different from what is seen maybe as a town park complex. Because many Downpatrick people feel that Dunleith is the town's park. It's the main area for recreation and leisure in the town. It's a central location within the town. So I unfortunately, Chair, have to make a counter proposal to the officer's recommendation that we proceed as per the motion in the establishment of a working group for council officers and the Downpatrick DEA councillors as a whole to progress this issue and to undertake exploring the viability of what can be developed on site.
Okay, Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, well, I'm pretty much in agreement with Councillor Traynor. I'm really disappointed by that report. I think my 11-year-old probably could have wrote better, to be honest with you. Like, there's no detail in it at all. If we're going to go down to the point that it's a floodplain, we need to get the facts here. We need to work out, is there a possibility of putting something on Dunleith or not? And again, as Councillor Traynor said, there's more to Dunleith than the actual pitch itself. Like, we have round the back of Russell Park, there's a full area there that is not being fully utilised as a town centre space. You know, I think what we need to know is, you know, are we exhausting the feasibility of what can be done, or are we just kicking it down the road into the DEA, where I don't think we as a DEA would be actually be able to make any decisions on it. Surely it's up to the officers to go and find out, is it a floodplain? Can nothing be done with it? Like, it's welcoming that we have the running track sort of walking trail coming onto it, but I just would worry that once that's done, that's all we can do with it, and it's left to the side. Also, when we talked about, or we look at the report and we talk about identifying a sports hub, you know, what is actually being done in the background to do that? You know, like, I've been in council now nearly 2 years, and I haven't heard any talk of any areas being identified in the Downpatrick area as a sports hub. So I would have preferred to see an update on things like that than, you know, a paper that doesn't really have any substance to it.
Okay, thanks, Una. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And as the person that brought the motion to council and then spoke on it at AHC last month, to have a report as weak as this, it is disappointing and is totally the counter of what the aim and purpose of that motion actually was going to be. If you actually break it down into the importance of Dunleith, you know, it is a project. It does, in my view, against council policy and what has been done before, does merit a working group. As other councillors state, you know, a flood risk assessment is currently being undertaken. That's great, although we don't know what the results of that is. It then helps us identify the development areas within Dunleith that can be developed. Once those have been identified, the next step of the project would be, let's identify the theme and the facility that can actually fit in those areas that have been identified. Then we could look to get input from stakeholders and obviously the councillors involved. The aim of the working group is to get Dunleith to a shovel-ready business case stage, and that's what a working group is there to do. A DEA forum is not there as the mechanic to get any of these projects to that point, and this is why a working group is really needed. Also, it's an opportunity for this council to clearly state to the people of Downpatrick DEA that the council is doing something for sports and recreation within the town centre. All the rural areas of Downpatrick give merit to the officers has really benefited, but it's now the time for the town centre to also benefit from this. So, Chair, it's great to hear that my colleague, Councillor Traynor, has made a proposal that we do still establish the working group as stated within the motion, and support from my other Downpatrick councillor colleagues. So I certainly hope that all councillors will support, and I see Councillor Andrews has seconded. Thank you, Chair.
I have one more question here from Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And I totally agree with previous speakers, particularly Councillor Traynor, in relation to this paper. Do remember, Downpatrick is the county town of Down, and I believe that it shouldn't just be left to, no disrespect to them, to the DEA councillors. There should be a working group set up, something similar to the Albert Basin, where everybody can play a part. Now, Dunleith Park is not just for the people of Downpatrick. It's for the people, it will be for the people of the greater Down District area. So, well, because whenever you have the summer league in that there, and that, teams are coming from all over the country, far away as Cumber and that, to play in them competitions and that. And I believe that we do need a proper working group, which of course now I sit on the Newry one, because when they set up that group, they had said, because that, I know, and Councillor Taylor's on it as well, but they wanted a unionist to have an input into it, in that, and it wasn't sort of just left one sided. I totally support what Councillor Traynor and that has said, because we need to develop something there that is state of the art, not just bits and pieces of fountain. We need a proper plan put together. I think Councillor Hamlin had stated that too. Plan put together where we can deliver something that the whole district can be proud of, and that. And I think anything short of a proper working group is doing the citizens of this district a disservice. So I'm totally supportive of a full bona fide working group, you know, that will take in councillors from outside the Downpatrick DEA.
Okay, go back to you, Michael, on this, will we?
Sure, yeah, thank you. The notice of motion, as I understand it, referred to a working group being set up with Downpatrick DEA councillors and council officers. What seemed to be proposed now by Councillor Walker is broader than that, which is a working group similar to other working groups that have been set up, which cut across the entire district. If that were the case, that's a matter for Strategic Finance Working Group and the SPNR committee to set up, because they've set up all such committees which go through Strategic Finance Working Group and the SPNR committee. I understood it was to be DEA councillors, and therefore was a matter for the AHC committee to decide on the DEA, local DEA councillors and officers meeting. I understand what has been said today, which is we want it to be a proper working group of the committee, not just the DEA councillors meeting to discuss this ad hoc. So I understand that. But just to be clear, if you are saying you want this to be a broader working group with councillors from right across the district on it, then it should be referred to SPNR. Sorry, Chair.
Okay. So what do you want to do in this, folks?
Sure.
You're not too happy, are you?
Sure. I put it in there too. So be it. If it needs to go to the policy and resources, I think that's where it should go. Because if we don't, we're doing the people of this district a disservice. So we are. We need to go through the proper channels. And as the director has said, if that has to go through the special policy and resources, I know it's Councillor Sharvin's motion in that. But, you know, by not doing that there, we're actually doing this motion a disservice. So we are. And I think you've heard people speaking tonight right across the spectrum here who are in support of it, who are in support of a full working group and that. So let's take it to the Policy and Resources Committee.
Okay, we have a couple more questions here. The fourth one is from Councillor Traynor. John?
Yes, Chair. No, thank you very much. Appreciate it. I suppose it was very reminiscent of me to forget something about Downpatrick DEA, and I should have remembered this from the outset. And I recognise that our DEA is quite, with regard to representation, would be seen as more sided towards nationalist representation. And I should have seen that from the get-go. And I suppose it should have been stating that we should have been opening this up to allow for representation to come across the political spectrum for both nationalism and unionism, because no one should be left out of this process. Because as Councillor Walker has stated, this is a park for all people. It's not for those of a particular political persuasion. And I would be happy to amend the proposal to allow for the representation to reflect that, if Councillor Walker would be happy with that.
No, happy enough.
Okay. Runa, would you like to come in as well?
Yeah, thanks for letting me in again, Jerry. Just to clarify in my own mind, is this sitting in the wrong committee? Is that what the problem is? Or is the fact that, you know, are we, who is actually looking after it? You know, I'm a bit confused, because surely it's the officers would come back and say, we can't do anything on this because it's a floodplain. We may be able to look at a town park and other areas of it. You know, does it go to the DEA whenever we actually need a worker group? So I just want a wee bit of clarity about what we're actually discussing and what the actual proposal is going forward, because I think it's being diluted to what actually we had wanted. I can see Councillor Sharvin is nodding there. You know, the spirit of the motion is being lost completely with technicalities, in my mind anyway.
All right, Michael, do you want to come back on that at all, do you?
Sure. I can only sort of go back on what I said previously. The notice of motion, as I understood it, was the Downpatrick DEA councillors, which is why it had been referred to AHC committee. If it is now going to be broader than the Downpatrick DEA councillors, then it is a matter, unfortunately, for strategic PNR. If you want me to take an update to the very next to a DEA councillor meeting, I can call a meeting of the local DEA councillors, and we can have detailed discussion around the floodplain and the issues on that. I'm quite happy to do that as well between now and the next SPNR meeting, if that helps to inform members better. But if you are saying that it should be broadened out right across the district, as the Albert Basin has been, for example, then it's an SPNR matter, unfortunately. If we're sticking to the local DEA councillors, then it's a matter for the AFC committee. Sorry.
Okay, we have another question here from Councillor Sharvin.
Yes. Sorry, Chair, I didn't expect this item to go on as long as it has, but the it's more for clarity. So if we were to try and say, and Councillor Walker was in agreement, that it is the Downpatrick DEA councillors and we set up the working group, there's nothing to say that when the working group is established that we do not include a unionist representative to ensure that all views are held after the working group is established. And then it would still be within the AHC to control that. And we, as then, as the Downpatrick DEAs, would include a unionist representative because we want to have a balanced view. And it feels like the next SPNR is not to next month now. So we're going to be 3 months down the line from the motion. And then once that's been decided, we need to wait to fill council, so you'd be into the fourth month. All I wanted is to get the ball rolling, get things started, and actually see something happening for Dunleith. So if we establish a working group with the Downpatrick DEA councillors, and then once the working group is set up, that we ask that a unionist representative from within the council joins the working group, then that will ensure that there's a representation, both nationalists and unionists.
I think
is that right?
Yes, Chair, if I can come in. If you want to have a meeting of a working group of Downpatrick DEA councillors as quickly as possible, I can arrange that. And the action sheet or any recommendations coming out of that working group can come back to the AHC committee. And if you want to do that, we can do that between now and the next AHC committee meeting, if that helps, sir.
Right.
Yeah, everybody happy enough with that? Are you happy with that, Gareth, Una?
Yeah, whatever gets it moving, Chair.
Okay. So we just need a proposed seconder then, sir, do we, or just fly away?
Chair.
No.
I don't know, can you hear me now? I'm having terrible interference here. It's all twanging and banging and everything here. Can you hear me?
It's the story of my house, Terry.
Well, as I say, I'm really too happy to second this proposal and to progress to immediate action to get things moving. I know Dunleith Park has been an integral part of people's lives in Downpatrick, and beyond for many, many years. And I do concur with the sentiments expressed by previous speakers. So I'm only too happy to second the recommendation that we move as speedily as possible.
That's grand, Terry. Grand Margaret.
Yeah, so that was proposed by Councillor Trainer and seconded then by Councillor Andrews.
Councillor Andrews, yes. Yes, sir. Okay, we'll move on to number six here. It's the renewal of Wayleaf agreement between Council and the Clanra Group. That is Owen. No, I'm telling. That's Janine.
Thank you, sir. I have taken away from my computer to boot up. Members, this report details a Wayleaf agreement, formal agreement really, between a landowner and an external company. And it's to allow access through my community centre for internet access or a port for internet to assist the Clanra Group. There's no cost involved. If there is an annual agreement, and the paper's proposing that we would then look to make this a longer term agreement, so maybe a 3-year agreement, provided legal are happy with that. So it's approval, Chair, to issue the Wayleaf and consent agreement.
Okay, we have a couple of Laura has sacked or proposed that Councillor McKay has sacked.
Sorry, Chair. It's actually Councillor Taylor has proposed it.
Oh, sure. I'm away up here, Chair.
It's okay. He came just before I put in item 6.
Yeah, sorry, it was just at the same time as Sarah put in item 6, I put proposal in. So, listen, obviously, this is required, obviously, to support the Clanra Group, so I'm very happy to support the proposal. We accept the recommendation of the report before us tonight. So, you know, obviously, you know, welcome that. So, thanks very much, Chair.
Is it Barra has the question, is it?
Yeah, I think I'm in next. Yeah, I think David got in with the P at the same time. No, it's no problem. Look, just as Davey says, everyone on the Sleevgullion DEF forum will be well aware of the long standing of Clanra Group in up around Sleevgullion Park and that. And, you know, I'm sure all of us would send our best wishes and hope that the council could enter into a longer term sort of thing. We'll always be happy to support any initiative that'll protect the Clanra Group up there. The work they do up there is fantastic, and just as Davey said, very, very happy to support.
Okay, thanks, Bora. Karen, would you just second it there, Karen, was it?
Yeah, well, it's just like sentiments that's already been expressed, anything that'll help the Clanra Group, albeit that they're held in the other DEA. I mean, the users of it are spread right across, so, I mean, anything to help, and again, yeah, a long-term agreement would be beneficial to everybody, not just to yourself, Janine, but to the group as well, where if we get this in a 3-year or longer, whatever it may be, to keep things ticking along, that doesn't have to be repetitive and coming back to council all the time for this. It'll give a bit of security to everybody for a small thing, but it's so beneficial to the users, it's unreal. So, yeah, second to that. Thank you.
Okay. So we move on to number 7, Capital Financial Assistance Report. That's yourself again, Janine.
That's me again. Members agreed that the next financial assistance call, revenue and capital, would open, and it has opened. Following discussions with officers, we're looking to seek approval to extend the capital element of the call. So to allow their plan to the capital team an extra 2 weeks to complete their applications and get documentation. And it will also help officers assessing the process to be able to detail and review the revenue call first and then move to capital assessments. What it means, Chair, is that members would receive a report on the revenue themes and the outcome of that in April AHC, and the capital report then would follow in May. So that's the first part of the paper. The second part of it deals with issues around providing extensions for capital projects and the subsequent impact on the deed of charge, especially for projects that won't materialise or are not going to materialise. So the recommendations contained within it are that council would seek to cap project extensions at 6 months, and this is past the year-long letter of offer. So if your group's issued with a successful letter of offer from council, you have a year to complete that project. And part of the eligibility criteria of CAPL is that you're ready to go as you apply for the grant. This is proposing that we would provide that year for the group to initiate the project and then a further 6 months. And if there's no movement within the project within those 18 months, that we would seek to maybe withdraw the letter of offer. If the project has been initiated and there's evidence of that and the programmes unit officers can liaise and work with groups, that we would again seek to provide a further extension to groups. So it's not a complete cut-off. It's a period after 18 months of your letter of offer where we would work with the groups to see is this project actually going to move. And the final part of that, Chair and members, is approval for council to meet the cost in relation to the deed of charge where a project doesn't materialise, and those are costs that are incurred at the outset of any capital project. So happy to take questions.
Okay, thanks, Janine. Yeah, there's a few questions here. First one is from Councillor Mason.
Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks, Janine. This report actually is very detailed and does explain the process, especially for myself that doesn't really understand that kind of deed of charge and things like that. There's just a couple. Definitely, the first part of it, definitely the additional 2 weeks. I think that should really be welcomed, especially with everything that's going on at the minute. You know, to give that wee bit of breathing space for groups that really will be able to, you know, use this funding, will be fantastic. The only part I suppose I had a bit of confusion around was I understand that it's capping the extension at the 6 months after the 12 months, but There surely is certain groups out there that there will be circumstances and reasons why there has been, you know, hold ups and things like that where the project might still be very viable. Will it be looked at on a case by case basis, or is this just an overarching thing that's going to come into play? And is this something that's going to be, you know, going forward with this call, or is this going to be badly, you know, on current projects that are running now? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Cathy. There's a few questions here. Janine, I'll take one or two and then maybe I'll hand it back to you again, okay? Councillor Taylor.
Chair, it's more a comment rather than a question. Just, you know, I obviously welcome the report. I suppose one thing, you know, I would say is just we got some information emailed to us this evening regarding these financial assistance schemes, but there wasn't obviously any detail about the closing dates, and obviously we had this report before us tonight and that had to be ratified before that does happen. But given that there is that, you know, additional period of time for the capital schemes, I would just want it to be clear in the communications that are made, you know, so there's no confusion, you know, regarding the schemes, because sometimes you do find that has happened in the past, people confusing about dates and times whenever applications were due to be, you know, sent in the council by. So certainly if we could, you know, if we could have obviously make sure communication is clear about the difference that there is in the closing dates for them, so, you know, so that people are very aware of what's required. The other thing is too, the extension is welcome, because I know obviously during, as a consequence of the pandemic, you know, there has been a lot of projects that have been impacted by that in terms of their ability to finish on time. And the council has worked with those groups, you know, on that, which has been welcome. So at least now this extension, you know, does allow groups that bit of opportunity to work, you know, with the council on these type of things if a problem should arise. So, no, listen, I generally welcome the report, and, you know, and it's good that we have the, you know, financial schemes released today. So just same couple of wee issues just that I mentioned. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair, and I suppose we should begin, I should apologise because I have been in contact with Miss Hillen, but between homeschooling and other such things, I haven't quite followed up on some of them, so I do apologise that I've tried to ask these questions before, but it's sort of passed. I'm a bit naive to these things too, so I don't mind admitting that. And I read the email this afternoon. I have a group, a club, that are quite keen to get a bit of refurbishment done. Is this a sort of scheme that can be open to them in order to refurbish a clubhouse, and if so, well, what is the best sort of advice I can give to said club? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Andy. I have two more questions here. Janine, do you want to take them ones first, or will I fire on with the other two?
I'll maybe answer these two first, Chair, if you're happy, and then come back to the other two. In terms of the extensions, yes, so if we're providing a letter of offer to a group, part of the eligibility criteria is that all of the permissions and approvals are in place for that project to commence immediately and for it per policy to be completed within that financial year. What we're proposing is that there would be another 6-month window added on to the end of the financial year. And at some stage then, council will have to look at the investment that's made through the funding and be able to say 18 months from the issue, the letter of offer, has there been any movement in the project whatsoever? And it's not to create some type of a hard thing for groups to adhere to. It's just opening up about a conversation and for us to be able to see evidence so that we can identify projects that aren't going to proceed and reallocate that money to other projects who have proven that they're ready to go. So in a way, yes, it's case by case, but it gives us a bit of strength whereby we have some projects at the minute that are just on a rolling extension. And we're years and years down the line, and there's absolutely no evidence that these projects are going to move in any way. The current projects, we have a date within the paper for March 21, and if you feel with COVID and that, we can take that on board and the comments that members have made this evening and look to extend that maybe for another 6 months, just given the circumstances we're in, maybe take that to March 2021 for the current projects. In terms of eligibility, and yes, I know, Councillor McMurray, you were in touch about that particular club. The guidance notes are very detailed, and I would say that type of scheme would be eligible. There are more variations on the capital themes within financial assistance this year, as agreed by AHC, so they have more chance this year than any other year to get funding. But I'll make sure that those guidelines are sent through to you. It makes it uncomfortable for officers maybe to discuss too much detail with a potential applicant in advance of the application going in, but I'll try and get you as much information as possible.
Okay, Janine Garlow, I've got a few more questions here from you. It's Councillor McCabot.
Yeah, thanks very much, Gary. Janine, I've read the report and on the same lines as Cathy, where you know we have to welcome the extension, etc. But for information purposes before we make this decision, I mean, I'm very conscious that groups have put in an application, they've received the funding, they've got their letters of offer, and for us to be able to say we're taking that back off again because it has started, could you give us an idea, without identifying the groups, obviously I think you're probably restricted to that, but could you give us an idea, how many groups are we talking about, how much money are we talking about, that could potentially be drawn, let off offer and that taken away from the groups, and what type of projects roughly they are. Do you know what I mean? Because like, if groups went to the bother of putting in an application and were awarded the funding, they obviously must be decent enough programmes. So before we make that decision, I maybe would like a wee bit of maybe more information without giving too much away, if you get where I'm coming from.
Okay, Karen. Last one for you, Janine, is Councillor Casey. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Something similar, even those of us with years of service at Council, you know, struggle to find and to understand the increase, I think, around seed deeds of charge. While welcoming the extension to those with successful letters of offer, the bit that I don't understand, and maybe somebody, you give me some clarification, Janine, that people with successful letters of offer must pay for associated costs of the deed of charge. What does that mean exactly?
Will I answer the two questions?
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Cheryl. Yeah, that's the last question. Go ahead.
Okay. In terms of Councillor McKenna, my understanding is that the extension issue doesn't affect too many groups, but there are some groups that possibly are looking for extensions year on year. So it's not that we have every group just simply not moving forward with projects. I don't have the exact number of groups here with me, but I can find that out. I'll try and do that before the end of the meeting, and if not, get the information to you tomorrow, or else bring the paper back with that detail next month. It's probably around groups that have been creative, have put their applications in place, and then going about seeking some level of match funding. Sorry, that's my phone. Obviously, there's somebody very agitated. I think that I understand the need for members to get that information, so if you want, I can find it out and circulate it to the committee. The other query around deed of charge, Councillor Casey, it's about council trying to protect the asset that they're investing in, and if the project doesn't proceed for whatever reason, that there's legal agreements in place. And this would also cover providing financial assistance for a project and then a group looking to dispose of that asset within a certain period of time. So if the legal agreements around the beginning of a capital project, and they can vary in price, anything from £300 upwards, but it allows council to protect the investment in terms of the monies they're given towards any type of capital initiative. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. Jerry, can I come back in, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. Janine, if on that advice, if you're going to give more information, could I ask that the first part of, or propose that the first part of your recommendation for the extension to go on ahead tonight, but the second part be delayed until that information comes before us again?
I'm happy with that.
Okay. So, have we a proposer? Terry, are you proposing, are you?
Well, I'm happy to second Councillor McKevitt's proposal. Chairperson, Jerry, I'm going to be happy to second.
Okay, second.
Thanks very much, Chair. Cheers.
Not a bother. Okay, that's it, folks. On number 8, Community Coordination Hub. I think that's you again, Janine, isn't it?
Again, Chair. Members, this is the report of the Community Coordination Hub for the 16th of December. And you can see around the table we had the South Eastern Trust, the Southern Trust, as well as members from the Strategic Stakeholder Forum and council officers. We're collaborating on the DSC money that this committee has approved to go out on the back of COVID response, and also the most recent DSC food pallet scheme. So we require committee approval for the action sheet as per terms of reference.
Okay. Janine, we have a question here from Barra. Go ahead, Barra, Councillor Moore.
Yeah, Janine, I'm happy to propose this. I suppose I was talking to a few councillors about this today, and it's great to see the like of the coordination hub. I suppose at the start of the last pandemic, it would have been fantastic, you know, if we had known now what we know then. You know, there was questions and teething problems in the very early days last March that soon rectified themselves, all right. But I think, you know, we all saw during the last pandemic the value of close coordination and agencies all working together and being coordinated through, and the council breaking that down into community groups and councillors being kept up to date and up to speed with everything that was going on. I think the more of that continues, the better it is for ourselves as elected representatives, but for the community groups that really are the ones that are rolling this stuff out, and that, you know, long may it continue. Happy to propose.
Okay, Barra, that's Barra proposing for that, and it's Councillor Andrews is seconding it.
Correct, Chair. I'm only too happy to second, and I do concur wholeheartedly with Barra's comments. You know, we all have seen it at first hand since last year, since the first lockdown, the sterling work that has been done by the Community Hub, and again, words can't describe the excellent work, and in fact, from the top down, and it has cemented such good community spirit right across the board. So I'm really too happy to second, and it's good to have such a forum close at hand, and as I say, being kept informed of developments. But thank you very much.
Okay, Terry. Moving on to number 9, it's the DEA forum update reports. Any questions or? Everybody happy enough? Okay. Can we have a proposal and second for that, please? Can we? Terry Andrews proposing.
Sorry, it's proposed by Councillor McKevitt, seconded by Councillor Andrews.
Let me know. Okay. Moving on to number 10, it's the CAN project extension.
Thank you, Chair. That's me. So, members, this report is asking the councillor lead partner for the CAM project, which is a cross-border interreg project with 11 partners. And it's about protecting the condition of protected habitats and support priority species. So the delivery of it has been impacted by COVID, and the partnership board have identified the need for further time. So our current completion date is 31st of December this year. And to enable us to achieve the deliverables and allow for closure, we want to ask the SUPB to extend it for a further 12 months. So we're just asking for a committee approval to put in that request.
Yeah, so and we have a proposal from Cathy Mason and second by Councillor Trainer. Okay. Thanks, Owen. Number 11, Sustainability and Climate Change Forum meeting held on the 17th of December 2020. I think that's you again, Owen, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The Sustainability and Climate Change Forum meets every quarter, and after it, we put forward the action sheet to this committee, both to note and then to approve any actions. Any actions that are identified to officers will be developed into a report to the appropriate committee, whether it's this committee or a strategic finance working group. So.
Okay. Cathy, Councillor Mason proposed, Councillor Andrews seconded. Okay, that's number 12 now. Service legal agreement in relation to affordable warm scheme.
Thank you, Chair. As members are probably aware, we've been delivering the affordable warm scheme for a number of years now, and we also delivered on behalf of Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon Council. DFC have put forward this new service level agreement, slight reduction in the numbers we have to refer every month. But we're just asking that the committee approve that we sign the attached service level agreement with DFC.
Okay, we have a question here from Councillor Trainer. Owen, go ahead, John.
Thanks very much, Chair. And I suppose Owen actually touched on it there when giving us an outline. The question I was going to ask was this a direct drop in the amount of referrals that we were being asked to put through? But obviously Owen has said that it is a drop. Is this drop in referrals due to budgetary constraints? Has there been any, is there a real-time cut to what's being given to councils to work with for the referral service, or what is the reason for that drop in referrals?
Thanks, Chair. It's the amount of money available to the housing executive to do the adaptations. We're paid on a referral basis, an amount per referral we do. Now, to be honest, it's 32 is reasonable. We struggle to get the referrals at times. There's a lot of phone calls and door knocking to get the referrals, so it really isn't going to make an impact in the next 3 months of the year into the number we were going to do. The target had previously been up to 44, but most kinds we were happy that we were getting 32. So it does come. DFC will advise us based on the amount of money that the housing executive has available to spend on the actual adaptation.
Chair, can I ask a quick follow-up if you don't mind?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Thanks very much. No, it's just really, I see obviously we've had 2,800 addresses have been referred to date. And obviously we have an idea of the areas in which should be targeted. Do we have an idea of the number of households per area that could possibly be targeted? It's just a sort of trying to get a measure for how many adaptations have taken place compared to how many could potentially have taken place. Or, you know, because I hear you're saying, obviously, Owen, you're finding it difficult now to get them. Is it a question of, you know, have the majority of houses that would have been seen as potentially, you know, able to utilise a scheme, have they been reached at this point in time? Yeah, I'm trying to get my head around it a wee bit.
No, through the chair. No, we wouldn't. We had a huge list of targeted of premises that were identified in the algorithm, but so we would still have premises on that list. But we have such a waiting list from other years, so we have enough of these of identified houses already to keep us going, certainly for a number of years. Obviously, when there's people who don't need the adaptations in these lists, they're not perfect. And then there's an income level, currently household income level of £20,000. That's going to be increased, but so you know you might be knocking on so many doors, you finally get somebody who wants to take part, and you find out that their income is too high. Very, very labour intensive to get the numbers. And the they are very, very, you know, they're very stern on the fact that it should be a predominantly a targeted scheme. So they really want 80% of them to be targeted, and then we have a 20% that we get identified through referrals, sometimes from elected members, from social workers, from medical side, etc. So in this area, there is still plenty of scope for the scheme. Other council areas didn't have the same need at all, but we still have the need. It's just to say that the goalposts do tend to change, but from our own point of view, that's 32. That's where we'd be happy enough for that level of referrals from now to the end of March.
I have two more questions here for you. I'll take the two of them first. It's the first one from Councillor Taylor and then Councillor Casey. Go ahead, David.
Yep, thanks, you, Chair. Chair, my first question has actually been answered. John had asked a question there about the demand for the scheme, and we don't have, we don't have that situation where we're fighting. We have applications actually haven't been held, put on hold, because there isn't the money available to meet that demand. So that's the first question answered. But I suppose, I know a number of years ago in particular, and I would have received quite a few calls on this scheme. Not so much now, obviously, but is there any particular reason, do you think, on why there is that reduction in demand for this, or what the main reason would be as to why there isn't as many applications being submitted at this stage?
Sorry, Chair, if I could answer that one first. I suppose, listen, we don't invite applications. You can't apply to this scheme. You know, we have to go to you, and we have a huge backlog. It's just, and the limit is put on us by DFC and Housing Executive. So they can only deal with so many, so we can only pass through 32 a month. So we have to try and manage our work, because we don't want to have people on, you know, lists for months and months before we can pass them through. So we can't advertise this scheme, and we don't invite applications. It is supposed to be that it's at 80% targeted, so that we knock on your door rather than you ringing us. So that's
also charged.
We would have a bit of a backlog of people that we have to get through. That the surveyors can't cope with the demand, to be honest. The calls we get,
No, I suppose applications may be the wrong word. I suppose referrals might have been a better word to use, because I know, I certainly in the past would have sent details of people that had inquired about the scheme to council officials for them, obviously, to move forward with making a contact with them. But no, it's just to try and get some sort of reasoning behind that, because as I say, at one stage there was a lot of inquiries, even from a consistency point of view, which I don't seem to be receiving now. So it's just trying to find out, was there any particular reason for that, did you think? But that's fine, Chair. Thank you.
Maybe we've sorted them all out.
Okay,
Councillor Casey.
Thanks, Chair. No, I don't think they've been sorted out on. There's still quite a few houses I know would dearly love to qualify for this. You mentioned about the goalposts moving. Has the criteria become too strict or something? And I know these are they're driven by finances that are available. But the way climates are changing and winter's becoming colder, some of the houses, and I know for a fact that Housing Executive homes that haven't been invested in maybe 20, 25 years, so there are, some of them are in dire need for replacement windows, for instance. I mean, has the criteria changed?
No, the criteria haven't changed. What changes is the number that we are allowed to refer through every month. So the criteria hasn't changed. They are going to improve the criteria in that they're increasing the income level. I think there's an issue where you mentioned even ex-housing executive houses. They mightn't appear on the list because they looked at those as having the potential to get gas because they're in urban areas. So they mightn't be on the actual targeted list. It is, there are a lot more rural properties than urban properties on the lists. So, and the other thing with it is when you're saying about the windows, windows are one thing that are allowed with the scheme, but they want to do a whole house solution. So instead of spending £2,000 on three houses, they'll spend £6,000 on one house. So that limits, when the house gets referred through, they want to have every adaptation they need. So it's the criteria haven't changed. The targeting will have to be looked at again. They'll have to redo their maps and their algorithm. But as it stands, the only criteria they're changing now on a regular basis is the number that they can let us refer through.
Well, can I finish off there, Chair? I'm sorry about that. One criteria that would need to be changed is the fact that your boiler need to be 15 years old or more before you can change to a more financially suitable gas system, for instance. Now, we need to have conversations with housing executives to try and get them to change that, because I know quite a few that would clearly change from gas from...
That's not ours. That'll be the boiler replacement scheme, though. That's not ours. That's not this portable warm scheme. That's
heating the house in general, I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's a huge problem, and there's all these discussions are going on about how this scheme could be best utilised. But they say that's where we are. That's the limit on. They set the limit on us, and then it's trying to make sure we have the resource in place to enable us to get that number of referrals through to them on a monthly basis.
But thanks. But to have 2,800 referrals is good. Fair play to you.
From this district, yes, and I think we've had millions and millions and millions of pounds spent in the district because of this. So.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Chair.
All right, Charlie. Another question here from Councillor Finnegan. Owen.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I got caught out there. So unless it's been covered, I can only apologise. I know from working with different constituents on the affordable warm scheme. I believe that the income has to be under 20,000. I know you said that may be tweaked slightly, but as far as I'm aware, I think one of the constituents I was working with, they're on welfare and probably personal independence payment of some sort, or maybe attendance allowance. And that being a non-means test of benefit, surely that shouldn't be taken into consideration as income. Because whenever we looked into this, I looked into it at some stage, it said that although that is seen as a non-means tested benefit, that it is actually taken into consideration with the affordable warm scheme, which means that people actually are coming above the £20,000 mark. So I think that needs to definitely be looked at and changed, because people are given the personal independence payment DLA for a child or for attendance allowance because they live with a condition in which hinders their daily living. So therefore, it should continue to be a non-means tested benefit when looking at the affordable warm scheme. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Owen, do you want to come back on that, do you?
No, I may say I'd agree, but I suppose we don't set the criteria for the benefits that they include or don't include. If you wish, if the committee wishes, we could make that representation to them. We can.
Yeah, good enough point, Councillor Finnegan.
Yeah, I think that's very important because it is bringing a lot of people who are not able to afford. Sorry for coming in again. It's just leaving people who are actually not in the position to afford to get their loft insulation and whatnot, their boiler replacement. It leaves that even those that are not in the position to work, that they will never be able to afford it and not be eligible for the scheme either.
Yeah, well, if committee wishes, we can write to DFC, raising that issue. But I say that they are intending to, from April, increase the threshold from 20. I think it's either 23 or 24.
So. Okay. Are you happy enough with that, Aoife, are you?
Yeah, I think we should write to the Department for Communities,
Sounds good, Okay, can we have a proposal and seconder, please? I think, is that John, is it?
So Aoife has proposed there that
Okay.
And Councillor Traynor has seconded.
Okay, that's grand. Okay, moving on to 13, isn't it, Sarah? 13, yeah. It's the SLA with Public Health Agency for Delivering of Leading Up the Way programme pilot in Newry, Mourne and Down.
Yes, that's me again.
That's you. Yeah.
Yeah, so at our last AHC, we got approval to develop this with the Public Health Agency on our active travel programme. So we want members' approval to utilise the attached SLA, and you'll see in the appendix some of the things that PHA will be delivering for us are online webinars, back-to-your-bike cycle training sessions, bike fix demonstrations, led walks, led rides, women into cycling, there's a list of things there, cycle-friendly employer accreditation. So we're just looking at approval to sign this, the attached SLA with the Public Health Agency.
Okay, I think Councillor McMurray is proposing it and Councillor Traynor is seconding it. All happy?
Happy to propose, Chair, yeah.
Yeah. Grand job. Okay, moving on. This is for noting, folks. Number 14, disability access onto Newcastle Beach. That is yourself, Michael. You'll be right for saying that.
I think it's actually Paul, Chair.
Paul, is it? Okay. Okay, close enough.
The disability access, well, that's for noting, if there's any queries.
Is that for noting? Okay, no bother. Any queries on that, folks? He's happy enough with it, yeah?
Sorry.
I see it here. Councillor Clark, yeah.
Chair, do you want to let the committee members in for sign? I'm happy to wait for you.
Well, yeah, the first one was Councillor Trainer. He has a question. And go ahead, John.
No, Willie, go ahead, because you'll be more abreast of the issue than myself.
Dead on. Thanks very much. Thanks, Chair, for letting us in. I suppose what the paper is in front of you is in relation to the toilets are not of a change in places standard. And I think we're well aware, anybody in the local area would know that, but this has taken years, a year and a half, to come back with saying that the toilets aren't up to disability access standards. The notice of motion was primarily to deal with access onto the beach from the promenade. That was the, I suppose, at the heart of the motion was to deal with, and I'm conscious that it goes across a number of departments. It probably doesn't sit neatly in this department. It's probably more neighbourhood services. But what was being, I was approached by a mother, a disabled parent who basically wanted to enjoy the beach and the water with her children and wasn't able to do so. And this is where this came about when I brought the notice of motion. The promenade has, you know, a number of accesses which would be suitable for disabled access, you know, onto the beach. But obviously it requires, you know, additional work. You know, you need either matting or a boardwalk or looking at wheelchairs that are suitable for sand. You know, that's the type of options we need to come back here. Not that the toilets aren't up to scratch, because I lobbied, oh, it must be 3 or 4 years, in regards to trying to get the budget for the refurbishment of our toilet stock. And we've got about 1.8 million for that, but it's dragged out an awful long as well. It's out to consultation at the minute. And when it comes back in, it'll clearly identify that the major towns need to have change in places put in place. We're looking at developing a new leisure centre. You'd imagine that would have change in places there also. So I think the crux of it is, and I'm not sure where the committee wants to send this, I think we've wasted a year and a half. There's no marine licence in regards to what we can do, you know, from the concrete access onto the beach. There's very little, you know, work in regards to options, what we're going to do, how we're going to get members with a disability onto the beach, you know. So I think we sort of lost our way in regards to what the motion intended. I know in the motion it did mention the May Murray Foundation, which, whether the experts in regards to disability and that, and they'd done a tremendous project in Cranfield. So I suppose the motion was trying to replicate that if at all possible, that you would like to see that at one of the main destinations. And if we're serious about, you know, Newcastle being, you know, a number one tourism destination in Ireland, then surely disability access is, in this day and age, is one thing we have to get right, folks. And as I say, I'm not having a slight any officer or anything. I think it just got lost somewhere, you know, but a year and a half to come back and say, listen, tell us aren't suitable, you know. I think it does a disservice to the motion. I think also we're looking at refurbishing Downs Road Play Park, then obviously there could be a change of places built onto that block also, you know. So I don't know where it goes from here, but it certainly hasn't tackled the issue of disability access, and I'm certainly not going to wait, you know, and allow that to happen, because there's an onus on council for equality to allow people to have the same access as everybody else. So it's up to the committee.
Okay, Willie, got any other councillor Trinity, you want to come in on that?
Perfect. Thank you, Chair. I'm glad I let Willie go ahead because he summed it all up very well there. And I remember the conversations that were had whenever Willie had actually brought the motion to AHC. And the issue wasn't around public conveniences. And the fact that it's now became public conveniences, it's quite confusing. The issue that had been raised primarily had been, as Willie has put out, that there's a lack of accessibility for those who would be wheelchair users, those who would be mother and child users onto the beach. And it just seems to have been lost somewhere in translation. So I think it would be prudent of us as a committee to send it back to officers to ask what options are there, or to explore the options for that access, or maybe even if someone can answer the question as to why has it descended into the point where we're looking at public conveniences as opposed to access on the beaches. It's maybe better for us to understand how we've got to public conveniences. But as Willie has said, it's up to the committee as to what happens next. I would be more than happy to propose that officers go back and look at the accessibility issues that are present, as has been detailed.
Okay, we have one more question here from Councillor McCabot, and then we'll leave it back to yourselves.
Yeah, thanks very much. On the same lines as Willie and John, it's a wee bit disappointing that we're not talking about toilets. Although I do think that the public conveniences has been brought up a few times on Neighbourhood Services Committee, and there might be a body of work going on there at the minute. But it did take away from what we've been trying to achieve through the motion. And that is disability access. And as John rightly said about the mother, father pushing the pram as well, and access to the same access as to those that are currently using it. It's just been lost in its way. And for what we need to achieve, I will second John's proposal and for officers to go back and look about what we can do to provide the proper disability access onto Newcastle Beach for now, but certainly not taking away any other beaches that have difficulties as well. So I would gladly second John's proposal that officers go back and what the motion had stated at the start is disability access. Thank you.
Okay, Karen. Michael, you want to come back in on that again, do you?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just to explain how it got on to toilets, and I understand what members are saying, and before I get on to that, we will bring a report back next month to set out what the potential options are. This cuts across three departments: Neighbourhood Services, who are responsible for the promenade and the maintenance and the slipway down onto the beach, and the ERT department, who are actually responsible for the beach because it's a blue flag tourist beach in the district, so it's those two departments look after it. They were both away doing a piece of work in terms of how they could improve access. So I'll make sure that comes back to this committee. It may be going forward that it needs to be referred to one of those two committees to have that actioned and dealt with. But I'm happy to take the lead on that and bring it back here. I know that work was being ongoing, and if necessary, we can send it to their committees at the same time. In terms of it becoming about toilets, I was looking at it from the perspective of trying to get the May Murray Foundation to give us some kind of accreditation and to work with us to help us to do exactly the same thing as they did at Cranfield, and to give it that recognition as a disabled-friendly beach. When they came out, they said the main stumbling block was the toilets. So I apologise if that's caused confusion at the committee, but that's how it came around, and that's why the report is phrased the way it is. We would be very hopeful with the work that's going on from the other two departments and the work, hopefully, that will happen to the toilets, that at some point in the future we'll be able to get accreditation through the Maybury Foundation for that beach. But happy to bring the report back, Chair, and we'll do that next month.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Councillor's happy enough with that, yeah? Okay, can we have our proposal in a second? Or do we need a proposal in a second for that, sir? There's no, no. No, it's okay. Okay, folks, so on to 15, this item's deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act of NI 2014. Do I have to read the rest of this out, sir, or is that good enough?
I don't know if you can read the rest, please.
All right. This item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act of the North of Ireland 2014 information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business.
We have a proposal from Councillor Traynor and seconded by Councillor Andrews to go into closed session.
That's grand. Okay. So this is a 15.
Chair, we just need to remove the press.
Oh, that's our way. Thanks, Sarah.
While in closed session, the following was agreed. Item 15, Sport NI, Your School, Your Club funding update. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McKevitt, seconded by Councillor Andrews, to note the update provided on Your School, Your Club funding as per the contents of the report and Appendix A1. It was agreed to approve 100% funding and delivery of projects at Kilkeel High School in Kilkeel and St Mary's High School in Newry as outlined, including Kilkeel High School ball stock, St Mary's High School changing room and gym upgrade. Item 16, Shimna Integrated College long-term access agreement for Donner Park sports facilities. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McMurray, seconded by Councillor Mason, to enter into a long-term access agreement with Shimna Integrated College in relation to sports facilities at Donner Park, and a report being brought back to the AHC committee for approval once the detail of the access arrangements has been agreed with the school. Item 17, Sports Facility Strategy Sports Hubs. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Casey, to appoint consultants to develop a sports development strategy for the council and further develop and prioritise the establishment of sports hubs across the district, including progressing these to detailed design and planning stage as appropriate. It was also agreed the budget as outlined in the officer's report for the above is added to the council's capital programme as part of the council's sports facility strategy list of projects. Item 18, Active and Healthy Communities Directorate Procurement Action Plan. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Traynor, seconded by Councillor Gallagher, to approve the Active and Healthy Communities Services Directorate Procurement Action Plan. Item 19, Purchase of Drinking Water Fountain. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Gibbons, seconded by Councillor Traynor, to approve the use of a single tender action to procure the drinking water fountain from MIW Water Cooler Express, part funded by the Sea Changers charity for installation at Cranfield Beach. Item 20, single tender actions for facility alarms within community facilities. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Traynor, seconded by Councillor Gallagher, to approve the following single tender actions to the value listed within the officer's report to be completed to extend current facility alarm contracts, intruder and fire, until a corporate procurement exercise has been completed, estimated for April 2021, and that's for Atlas, Chubb Fire and Security Group, Digital Fire and Security, Electronic and Security Services Limited, and JBC Security Services. And item 21, Extension of Leisure Software Solution Legend. It was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report and an extension of the software solution for leisure management Legend be extended up to 11th of January 2029.
That's lovely. Thanks a million for reading that out for me, Sarah. That's the end of the meeting, folks. So look after yourselves. Take our hand.
Thanks so much, Jerry. Thanks, Chair. And thanks, everybody. It's good to see you all again.
Thank you.